Let's begin this next segment by stipulating that smoking is bad for you. Worse than that, smoking kills. On the movie screen, it can be very romantic. Think Betty Davis in Now Voyager. It can be atmospheric. Imagine the darkening gloom inside Rick's Cafe American as the war clouds gather in Casablanca. A Chesterfield in the corner of a private detective's mouth tells us one thing, a smoke ring blown by a vixen, quite another. Now the Motion Picture Association of America will rate new movie releases based on how they depict smoking as well as on sex and violence. So how important is smoking to the movies, and will efforts to banish butts reduce consumption or make them even more attractive? Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. There's also a conversation at our blog, npr.org/blogofthenation. Joining us to talk about Hollywood's relationship with the cigarette is Richard Klein, professor of French at Cornell University, author of Cigarettes Are Sublime. He joins us from our studios in New York City. Nice to have you on the program today.
Hi, Neil.
And Casablanca would have gotten an R rating, I suspect, under the new rules of the Motion Picture Association of America. Hasn't smoking always been acceptable, not even acceptable, but sort of lauded in Hollywood?
Oh, absolutely. And even today, 40 years after the Surgeon General's report, a recent study demonstrated that 80% of PG-rated movies contain scenes of people smoking tobacco. But, of course, the solution of the American of the Motion Picture Association of America is the usual American solution, censorship and hypocrisy. I mean, the idea that they would like to eliminate from their representation of reality, the reality that even today, 40 years after that report, at least one-fifth of the adult population of the United States smokes, and billions of people around the world light up every day.
Yet there are efforts to put the cigarettes, as you say, it's a lot of people smoke, so it wouldn't be reflecting reality if you didn't have some people smoking on screen. And so they try to put the cigarettes in the mouths of the bad guy.
The bad guys. Well, they tried that for a while, but there was in the 80s, there was a significant decline in the number of characters in movies who smoked. But already in the late 90s and into the 21st century, there's been a surge, as they say, of smoking in the cinema.
And it's beyond reflecting reality. Do you suspect that this is product placement, or is this simply that filmmakers find that sensual wisp of smoke so irresistible?
Well, I think that's really what it is. I mean, the hypocrisy is not only the fact that so many people in this country continue to smoke, despite the fact that every major institution of our society has been preaching against cigarettes for over 40 years, and children get that message at the earliest age, and yet despite that, we continue to smoke. But there's a further hypocrisy, which is that people want to deny the benefits of cigarettes, the uses and power of cigarettes. Cigarettes, the reason why they appear so frequently in movies is because they are extraordinary instruments for social, psychological, and aesthetic purposes. And people smoke because cigarettes are useful and beautiful. Mm. They're also very bad for your health.
Also very, very bad for your health. But as you point out, if you've got a scene where a journalist or a soldier is waiting out tensely something that's about to happen, what better device?
Absolutely. Cigarettes are used for a whole variety of purposes in the movies. Think, for example, of Julia Roberts in My Best Friend's Wedding. There's a remarkable scene where she sort of lost everything. She's the bad girl, and of course in movies, bad girls always smoke. And nothing is more appealing than a bad girl who smokes. I mean, it suggests the whole sort of air of freedom, which women won rather painfully in this century, in the last century, in order to be able to smoke in public. She's crouched down on the ground, having lost all of her friends except her best friend, which is her cigarettes. I mean, think of an earlier time, for example, in the 50s when Dr. Kildare was on television. In the very first episode of that television program, he goes bounding up the stairs, and the first thing you see him do is to take a pack of cigarettes out of a machine. Why? because in moments of great tension where matters of life and death need to be decided, the cigarette is a useful tool for controlling anxiety. And it's also a way of sort of pausing to reflect. It opens up a kind of space in which one can meditate. Cigarettes are also very, very bad for your health. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, like most adult pleasures, cigarettes are a mixed blessing. We spend our lives, particularly our adolescent lives, learning to deal with the terrors and the pleasures of adult pleasure. Cigarettes have been traditionally one of the instruments that adolescents have used in order to learn about adult pleasure. And most of the people I know, I would say every single person I know, has at some time in their life been addicted to some adult pleasure. And if you think of the possible things to which one can become addicted in this society, you have to ask yourself, for example, whether or not you would rather your child was addicted to cigarettes or marijuana. Cigarettes or sex? Cigarettes or mountain climbing? I mean,
or alcohol,
or alcohol, things,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah,
it's not at all clear that cigarettes, among the adult pleasures which we pursue, isn't one of the more socially useful pleasures, except that cigarettes are very bad for your health. And some people have estimated that a smoker who smokes his whole life reduces his life expectancy by something as much as 23 years. But that's true of most adult pleasures. If you do them in great quantities for over a long period of time, you will probably become addicted to them, and they will probably do very bad things to your health. But that doesn't mean that in this society or in any society, people are going to stop pursuing adult pleasure.
It will tell you how long ago Dr. Kildare was on the air that I think when he dropped that coin into the cigarette machine to buy his pack of cigarettes, I think it was a quarter.
That's exactly right.
Let's get some callers in on this conversation. Our guest is Richard Klein. He's a professor of French at Cornell University. We're talking about the recent decision by the Motion Picture Association of America to include smoking as one of the behaviors that will draw you a more severe movie rating along with sex and violence. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Blake. And Blake with us from Berlin, Maryland.
Hi. First, I wanted to say I apologize. I'm in a bad area, cell phone wise. I just wanted to say that I used to be a smoker. I'm not anymore. And sometimes when I watch movies, certain movies in particular, fill me with the urge to take a cigarette and have a cigarette. The movie Fight Club, in particular, which I really enjoy, often makes me want to have a cigarette.
Well, it's true. Cigarettes in movies are very attractive. In fact, I generally like to think about the cigarette in the movie not as an object, but as a person, as a kind of character in the movie. I mean, more exactly, a kind of an avatar, as in a video game. And if you watch the movie and watch what the cigarette is doing or what the cigarette is saying, usually the cigarette is being used by the director to reinforce some important aspect of the character's situation. Usually it's in some kind of harmony or parallel with what the character is supposed to be experiencing. But sometimes it's a kind of counterpoint in which what the character is saying and what the character is in fact supposed to be really sort of feeling is revealed through the use of the cigarette, which speaks in so many ways in social circumstances.
I would agree. I mean, as an artistic statement, it does make sense. And since it's prevalent in society, it would make sense that a reflection of society would have cigarettes in it.
Yep, and it's also the companies have spent so much effort trying to develop these brand images. It does mean something very, signifies something very different if somebody smokes a Pall Mall or a Kool or some other brand of cigarette.
That's true. And if I were to speak about the hypocrisy of the media in wanting to censor the fact of cigarettes, the only thing that exceeds their hypocrisy is the hypocrisy of the tobacco companies, which for 80 years have been resisting revealing the truth of the harmfulness of cigarettes until the bitter end was criminally lying about what they knew very clearly about the dangers of cigarettes. So I wouldn't want for a moment to appear to be an apologist for the cigarette companies or to want to encourage people smoking. But I think as realists, we have to recognize the fact that it is a adult pleasure which has spread around the world. And for over 150 years, people everywhere in every society where they could have sought the benefits and sought the beauty of cigarettes. Cigarettes, I don't have to tell you, are sexy. I remember on television, tell you how old I am, a program called The Continental with Renzo Cesano back in the 50s, who was called the first electronic gigolo. And he would appear on the screen sort of dressed in a tuxedo with a slight Italian accent in a seductive manner, which allowed him to address the camera as if it were a beautiful woman. And there was always a moment when he lit two cigarettes and offered one to the camera. And then as the scene ended, you saw the two cigarettes together in a sterling silver scallop shell ashtray smoking at one another. And
one presumably with lipstick traces on.
Exactly. Exactly. Lipstick traces.
I've always thought that the television series Homicide: Life on the Street dealt with cigarettes in a very interesting way. I remember very distinctly a period in the show when various characters would try to stop smoking and how that affected their career and their high-stress job.
Interesting. Blake, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
We're talking with Richard Klein about the smoking and the movies. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Trevor. Trevor's with us from Las Vegas.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm a non-smoker, first of all, and I just wanted to comment that one of the movies that would probably, if they had a rating system in effect for smoking, that would probably get a PG rating was a movie called Thank You for Smoking, because it was, of course, a parody and a on what smoking does for society and how we push it so hard, and yet no one smoked in the movie, even though the main character that was portrayed by Aaron Eckhart, I believe, he didn't even smoke in the movie at all.
Yeah, he was flacking the tobacco business, yeah.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Las Vegas, on the other hand, a casino in Las Vegas is one of the last interior places in the world you can smoke a cigarette.
Of course, smoke and drink 24 hours a day. Absolutely.
All right, Trevor. Thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome.
Here's an email we got from Christina in Corvallis, Oregon. The danger of seeing someone smoking in a movie is so far outweighed by the danger of extreme, gratuitous, gory violence being glorified in movies that it is ludicrous that there's any outcry at all about smoking. Perhaps we should call it a smoke screen. Which raises a question, Richard Klein, and that is if smoking is now not to be glorified along with sex and violence, boy, the movie ratings have been so successful in suppressing the amount of sex and violence.
Suppressing them. I mean, one of the facts that always sort of astonishes me is that if there had been television, let's say, in 1935, we could be assured that television would have been able to represent people smoking furiously, passionately, constantly in all kinds of important positions in the world. But they would not have been allowed to be seen drinking. Drinking advertisement was forbidden, of course, during Prohibition, but smoking was generally encouraged by society. And here we are, some 60 or 70 years later, with exactly the reverse situation. And the only thing that that it seems to prove is the inveterate sort of tendency of puritanical America to censor adult pleasure.
And by making it taboo, make it attractive to teenagers.
Absolutely, because that's the double bind, as it were. The what's really, I think, in some sense, going on, that the more the media censors cigarettes, the more alluring it's bound to be to adolescents who see instantly the hypocrisy of the society, where they look around them and they see people at all sort of levels of society smoking, and yet they're being endlessly told that cigarettes are nothing but demonic sort of instruments designed to ruin their health.
Let's see if we get one last call in. This will be Cayman. Cayman with us from Coldwater in Michigan.
Hello?
You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Okay, yes. No, I just wanted to... The question was already asked, like, how is it going to affect the characters if they were to smoke? Their characters that smoke, sometimes the smoking of a character will define that character. And anyways, I think the question I'm going to ask is kind of like the opposite about what if usually the smoking was reflective of the past and how it was cool back then, and we realize that it's not cool now. And so do you think the movies would change and have characters based upon non-smoking characters and have characters develop that way?
I don't know.
I'm getting at.
Okay, Kamen, thanks very much for the call.
It's hard to know. As I pointed out before, I mean, there tends to be cycles in these things. And back in the 80s, there was a significant decline of smoking in movies. And generally speaking, it was only villains who smoked. Hmm. But all that has suddenly changed, precisely to the extent to which the outcry against cigarettes has become more and more intense. Cigarettes have become more and more attractive, more and more visible in the movies. So,
well, here's an email we got from John in Cleveland. I'm starting my own production company this year, and my first movie being shot in Cleveland in August, my villainess will be smoking, mainly because her character is a flapper from the 1920s. I'm doing this for historic reasons, nothing more. If this will garner my film a harsh rating, then so be it. I don't want adolescents watching this horror movie anyway.
Hmm. Well, I mean, it's hard not to sort of think that, you know, he knows what he's doing, this gentleman, and that if he wants to create a character who in a certain perspective looks like a villain, then he should be having her smoke. There's no question about it.
Richard Klein, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Richard Klein, a professor of French at Cornell University, author of Cigarettes Are Sublime, with us today from our bureau in New York. And let us repeat one more time, smoking kills. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.